switched a few words around. Joining God, where is he working? Instead of joining God, where is he working? How do we know where God's working? Have you ever been on a blind date? How's that go? I you know, it's been a long time since I've dated. My wife and I have been married for a long time. And so I was thinking about what it would, and the closest thing I could equate with it was, have you ever bought anything off of Facebook Marketplace? And you got to go find some stranger in some parking lot somewhere and buy this valuable item. I bought a $10 cookie jar, Santa Claus cookie jar for my wife. Okay. And I was meeting a lady in a certain car and you're never real sure. Is that the right place? Is this where I'm supposed to be? Is that what I'm getting? Is it, you know? And sometimes when we look to God and say, God, where are you? And he gives us instructions. We say, are you there? Am I in the right place? Am I thinking the right way? Am I seeing what you're seeing, God? Because I don't know. It feels a little uncomfortable. Well, let me share with you. There's two indications that you're pretty close to being in God's will. If you're uncomfortable and insecure, you're probably where you need to be, because then you depend on God's security and comfort. So to identify where God is, you got to know who God is. You know, Wednesday night, we started Genesis and we talked about creation. And we talked about all that God put together in this world. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Right down to our DNA. And there's some traits about who God is that can help us discover where he's working. One is he's organized. Okay, God doesn't do disorder. He doesn't do chaos. He doesn't do upheaval. And everything that God puts together is organized. Okay, now for some of us, it may look like a jigsaw puzzle. And we see all the pieces, but we don't see the big picture. God's a big picture guy. Sometimes we can't recognize where God's working is because we're too close. Got to step back. Look at the big picture. And all of a sudden, the pieces start coming together. All of a sudden, we start saying, well, this is where that piece goes. And this is where that piece goes. And how many people build jigsaw puzzles? What's the most valuable tool to building a jigsaw puzzle? The big picture, the cover of the box, right? It makes it easier. You can look at the cover of the box and see the big picture. So one of the things that we got to do is when we know where God's working is we got to step back and say, what's the big picture? What's the big picture? Sometimes we get so focused on our situation and where we are, and what's going on in our life that we forget that there's a bigger picture. There's a bigger thing going on here. Not just about us. It's about more than us. And seeing what I'm saying is, how do we fit in that jigsaw puzzle? How do we intertwine with the lives of others to come together to form this mosaic that is God's vision? There's a clue. The plan of God is always revealed to more than one person. Have you ever got a confirmation from somebody? And you said, this is supernatural. This just doesn't happen that independent people come up with the same idea and it glorifies God. That's a good indication. Look for people that confirm your vision. Look for people that are saying the same thing that you're saying and saying, well, I didn't talk to him about that. How can that be that they have the same idea that I have? Where does that come from? It's planted there by God. It's planted there by God. Now, this has been a challenging week for a lot of people on either side. But you know what? It's not the first time that God's people have faced challenges. If we look back in the 14th chapter of John, we'll find a challenging situation If you're familiar with this, this is the setting is the Last Supper. John 14 takes place with 11 disciples around the table, not 12. Why is that? Because of Judas. And in 13, God dismissed Judas and said, go do what you got to do. How do you think that rattled the cage of the other disciples? How do you think they felt? Wait a minute. He was with us. He joined us. We were together and he's a traitor. Wow. That would rattle my cage. Then Christ went on to describe how Peter was going to deny him. Peter was the leader. Peter was the head. And Christ said, even you, Peter, will deny knowing me. Now these guys are shaken. They're rattled. And then Jesus says this. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There's more than enough room in my Father's house. If there were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I'm going. Okay? The doubt is, do I belong in God's kingdom? Do I have a place there? Okay, when they're sitting around a table, they're thinking in their mind, well, Judas doesn't belong and Peter doesn't. What about me? What about me? Christ says, it's okay. I've got a place for you. There's plenty of room. Okay, that's one of our clues that we have to remember, that there's no close sign in heaven. Okay, God doesn't say, okay, I got enough. We're done here. Everybody has a place. And there's enough room. So don't stop doing God's work because you think heaven's going to be too full. It won't ever be too full. Trust in God and trust also in me. We have trouble with that. It says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. When everything is ready, I'll come and get you so that you will sometimes be with me. Maybe once in a while you can be with me so that you'll always be with me. And you know the way to where I'm going. We know the way, right? What's the way? No, we don't know, Lord. Thomas said, we have no idea where you're going. So how can we know the way? Sounds about like these 12 guys, right? Thomas says, I'm not going to believe it till I can touch the scars in his hand. Right? He says, Lord, we don't know the way. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. So what's the first clue? If we're going to join God where he's working, who do we have to know? Have to know Jesus, right? Okay. Just know Jesus. Do you know people? I know a lot of people. I know a lot. And know is kind of this funny word, you know. I know some people. I know of some other people. And I really know some people. Right? Same word, isn't it? All right. Do you know Jesus? Satan knows Jesus. But not like we should know Jesus, right? If you know me, I want you to work on that. To join God where he's working, we really have to know Jesus. We have to know what's important to Jesus. We have to know what Jesus is about, the choices Jesus would make. We need to know Jesus. And the only place I know to figure that out is this instruction manual he gave us. This book reveals who Jesus is. From now on, you do know the Father and have seen him. Guess what the disciples said? Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. He said, no, you've seen him. I am him. They still doubted. They still doubted. Jesus replied, have I been with you all this time, Philip? And yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Let me stop there. Have they seen Jesus? Okay, how about you in your life? How many people have you shown Jesus to? Do you know that if they see Jesus in you, they've seen Jesus? Right? Guess who's responsible for showing them who Jesus is? Same people that are responsible for showing them who God is, right? Us. Mm-hmm. Us. He said, don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? I've got a question for you. Take that out of there and go to your one of your friends and say, do you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? How many of your friends are going to say, yes, definitely, I believe that you are one with the Father. That you are a Christian. I've watched the way you act. I've watched the things you do. I've watched the way you live your life. And I would definitely conclude that you belong to God. That's a tough question, isn't it? That's a tough question. The words I speak are not my own, but my Father's who lives in me does his work through me. We, to join God where he's working, guess what has to happen? We have to change. There's a lot of things I'd like to say to a lot of people. Believe me, my wife hears them. She's chuckling because she's the only one that hears them. And we'll be driving down the road and she'll say, you realize I'm the only one that can hear you, right? And I said, well, that's a good thing. More than you know, that's a good thing that you're the only one that can hear me. Believe me, there's a lot of things that we'd like to say to a lot of people, but they're not what? Glorifying to God, are they? Right? Okay, it says, the words I speak are not my own. Okay? We got to get used to speaking to people without our words, with his words. We got to get used to setting ourselves aside. It's that big word called sacrifice. It's not about what you want. It's not about what I want. It's not about how I feel or what I really want to say. Not about any of that. What it's about is what God wants to say. Funny thing happened in a line down at Disney World. This young fella who's been struggling asked me who this Jesus was. And I sat there in a line waiting to go on a rock and roll roller coaster and witness to this young fella for, I don't know how long mine was, but it seemed like about a half hour. And I figured it was good. We were done. We closed our discussion and we're going along the line farther. Two people up happened to be another pastor. And he came back and he shook my hand. He said, those are the words of God. We have to use his words. We have to reflect his character. If we're going to join God where he's working, we got to look like God, right? We got to act like God. It doesn't matter what we feel. It doesn't matter what we think. It doesn't matter what we want to happen. Remember, we got to step back and look at the big picture. My buddy used to tell me, look, he says, you think about it. And if it's going to matter in 300 years, you worry about it. But if it isn't going to matter in 300 years, no, don't worry about it. Sometimes is it going to matter tomorrow? Is it really important that I say what I want to say? Or is it more important that I reflect the character of God? Jesus said, the words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me. My Father who lives in my Savior who lives in me. The words I speak are not my own, but my Savior who lives in me. And does his work through me. Just believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do. I don't care if you listen to a word I say. But if you watch what I do, it better lead you to Christ. Okay? I use this Saturday morning with the guys. Well done is better than well said. Okay? Well done is better than well said. Jesus says, even if you don't believe me, even if you don't believe what I said, believe what I did. Believe what I did. And I'm going to do. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son of Man can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Still waiting. I asked for a Ferrari. It is weird. I could ask for anything. And I said, in Jesus' name, can I have a Ferrari? I got a Ford. That's not what that means, is it? No, it's not what that means. It means that when we're together with God and working for God, we need some things, don't we? We need some things, some tools, and we can ask, and God will give us every resource he has to build that jigsaw puzzle, to put those pieces together. Don't ever doubt that God doesn't already have the resources we need waiting for us to ask. Sometimes you're waiting to ask. Now some of you have kids, right? And you raise kids, and you ever remember you have something for your kid, but you're going to wait till they ask you for it? You're going to wait till they figure out they need it before they ask you? They say, oh, yeah, it's right here. I got it for you. All right? God wants us to be in communication with him. He wants us to constantly be talking to him. He wants us to be searching and probing and asking. Guess what? If the prayer is answered, it's what God wants us to do and where God wants us to go, whether how comfortable or uncomfortable it is. Because that's what it'll provide. It says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works. Do you think you can do greater works than Jesus? He said you can. Have you? Probably not. That's honest, Eric. I appreciate that. But we're still trying, though, aren't we? There's a lot of work to be done. Jesus confined himself to one human body. And you know, I was asked as the pastor, I'm only one guy. I may be able to bring a half a dozen people. But if each one of you reached out and breathed life into somebody's life, right? That's greater than I can do, right? It's greater than what Jesus did. It's not about what I can do. It's not about what Jesus could do. It's about what we can do. It's about what we can do with the tools he gives us. And he says, ask, I'll give you the tools. I'll give you what you need. Anything. Just let me know. Ask me. He'll do it. Amen. Join God where he is working. God will lead us. We need to meet people where they are. We need to come alongside and breathe life into them. We need to invest our life in the lives of others. We're not islands. There has to be people that we're investing in. People that we're sacrificing for. And you say, what do you mean sacrificing? I said, when a call comes on the phone and you were, Linda will tell you how many hot dinners I have. It's just allergies. I'm not that emotional. Just my allergies for some reason are getting the best of me. You know, it's about, I had a deacon once that said, don't call me on Saturday night between 8 and 9 because I watch my favorite TV show and I won't answer the phone. When do you think God's calling? No, 7:59 God called. Because he answered the call. And all of a sudden he missed his favorite show. See, are you with me? Are you with me? Are we doing this together? Or So what I want to encourage you to do, a lot of us out there like this right now. There's a lot of us, even some of us in here may feel like this, okay? And unless someone else, you know, they can try to straighten your life out, but it usually comes out looking a little crooked. But if we breathe life into them, we can restore. We can connect them back with God. Okay? All right? A lot of work to be done. Greater things yet to come. Greater things are to be done. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for who you are, for your willingness to hang out with us and teach the disciples. Even in their doubt, Lord, you taught them what they needed to do and what they needed to know. Lord, you gave your life so that we would have life. You rose from the dead, victory over death, so that death no longer has a hold on us. Lord, let us pour our lives out into the lives of others, into those we come in contact with every day. Lord, help us to set aside our wants and desires, to lift them up, to dust them off, and to walk alongside them and hold them up. Lord, yes, challenging days are ahead, but we are equipped with the power that only comes from you. And we can change this world. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.